You would be seated, please. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to Exodus 13, and we're going to start reading there in just a moment. And if you're following along in the Bible that you'll find in the chair, that should be found on page 49. Page 49, Exodus chapter 14, 13 and 14. We're going to continue our series this morning on the land between. And I'm going to move that, or otherwise I will fall out there somewhere. Tell me I'll land in your lap if I don't move that out of the way. Okay. That could be painful for both of us. We're going to continue our series this morning on the land between. And if you're not familiar with that, if this is your first time here, the land between is a series that's designed to help us learn from the children of Israel as they transitioned out of Egypt. If you will remember, they were held in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And they left Egypt and they went to a land that God has promised them. Last week we looked at the Passover and the significance of that in the Jewish nation, and we learned some lessons from there. And what we're looking at as we talk about the land between is we're talking about the way that God uses those difficult transitions in life to help us become the people that He wants us to be. What we're learning is that it is the difficult times in life when God does His greatest work in us. Now, we don't like those times. We don't like the difficult times. We like it when it's easy. We like it when it's calm. We like it when everything is in place. We like it when things are working well. But what we come to know after a period of time is that during the difficult transitions of life, God does His greatest work. And so when we look at the children of Israel, what we discover is that as they leave Egypt and as they are moving toward the promised land, they end up in the land between for 40 years. It was a journey that should have taken maybe 2 weeks. But instead of taking 2 weeks, because they wouldn't listen, because they wouldn't be obedient, because they wouldn't follow God's direction in their life, it ended up taking them 40 years. And here's what the passage of Scripture that Paul wrote for us back in 1 Corinthians says. He says, they all ate the same spiritual food, the manna that God provided. They drank the same spiritual drink, the water that God provided from the rock. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now look at this last sentence. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Here's what Paul is saying to us. He's saying to us, listen, read the book and learn from their mistakes. Don't write the book yourself and make every mistake under the sun. You like that one, do you, man? Read the book. Don't write the book. See, we can learn from what happened to them. That's the reason that the stories are in there. Because God is in the process of communicating to us some things that we can learn from them. Last week, we talked about one of the most significant lessons, which is learning how to leave the past in the past. And what we said was, we all go through those difficult times. We all go through bad experiences. We all have hurt. We all have pain. We all have struggles somewhere in the past. But if we don't learn how to turn those things over to God, if we don't learn how to release them and find freedom from them, then we will drag them with us and they will form us and they will make us struggle the rest of our life. And so there comes a point where we need to learn how to lay those things down. This morning we're going to talk about probably the most fundamental and important lesson in the spiritual life. It's a lesson that I got to tell you, if you don't nail this one down, if you don't get this one right, it will plague you your entire life spiritually. You will stay in the land between. You will never get God's best. You will never learn how to walk with Him fully as He wants you to walk with Him. You will never experience everything that He has for you until you learn how to get this lesson incorporated into your spiritual life. And it's very easy. It's not that hard. It's not one that is beyond any of us. It is the lesson of obedience. Hearing God's voice and doing what He says. Not hearing God's voice and deciding whether or not
I want to obey. Not hearing God's voice and negotiating with Him over how much of what He wants I'm willing to do. Not hearing God's voice and considering whether or not I want to cooperate. But hearing God's voice and doing what He says we should do. If you got your Bibles, Exodus chapter 14. I want you to take a look at this. I'm actually going to begin around verse 20 of chapter 13. I want you to listen to the story as the children of Israel now have been released by Pharaoh. They have left the land of Egypt. They have made the first camp at night, and they've made the first couple of days' journey. And now it's time for them to start out into the desert. Now it's time for them to go toward the promised land and all that God has for them. Scripture says in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 20, after leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Now, wouldn't it be nice if God led us that way? It would be so much easier, wouldn't it, if He just said, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. There's a little cloud out there in the daytime, and just follow the cloud. And there's a pillar of fire out there at night, just follow the fire. It would be so easy. That's all you'd have to do is follow Him. Anybody could do that, right? Well, read the story. Yeah, you see where this is going. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh and...
turn left. Turn right.
What are you doing?
Why don't you just sit and rest a bit?
Well, Moses here led us out into the desert to die. Apparently, there's no graves in Egypt.
There are no graves in Egypt, so we brought you out here.
Now, didn't we ask you to leave us alone in Egypt?
Just please, sit and rest a bit. Just sit and rest a bit.
You see what I have to put up with here?
Huh. Are they hard to get along with?
Huh. I thought leading them out of Egypt was going to be the hard part. But
spending all day with these guys? I'd rather be with the locusts.
A little tough, is it?
Well, yeah, until God gave us this GPS.
So now all you got to do is follow the GPS?
Yeah, God's positioning system.
God's positioning system. I see. How's it working for you?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a little confusing. I don't know if it's really working because it's turn left, turn right, turn left. It's like He's just walking us around in circles in the desert.
Why do you suppose that might be?
I don't know. But now it looks like He's trying to lead us back to the sea. And I know that's not where He wants us to be. I just know it.
Why not?
Well, if we go back towards the sea, we're going to be trapped between the sea and any enemies that might be coming up behind us. I know God doesn't want that for these people.
So you know what God wants.
Turn left.
I'm telling you, I know this is wrong.
I would say that you'd be better off following Him than your wisdom.
Turn left.
I just know that's not right. This must be broken. I know it's not right. I think this is wrong.
Please stop thinking and turn left.
Well, I've never heard that before.
You might want to follow what it says.
All right, we've got our new heading. Let's go.
Good luck there, Moses.
Where's this guy going?
Just follow this way. This way. I don't know.
Check out this next verse here. The Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion. No doubt about that. Hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart,
and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind about them and said, "What have we done? We've let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horsemen and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." And Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Learning the lesson of obedience is one of the single most important lessons of the spiritual life. Three different things that I want to call to your attention here in the passage of Scripture this morning as we think about this lesson of obedience and learning to walk with and follow God. First thing I want to say to you is this: God leads us in different ways at different times. When you go back and you look at chapter 14 and verse 1, and then the last couple of verses of chapter 13, what you see is that for the children of Israel, God led them in different ways. At times he led them with the pillar of cloud, and at night he led them with the pillar of fire. He spoke to them through Moses, and as you go back and you read through the children of Israel's journey through the desert, you will see that over and over and over again, at different ways in different times, he led them, depending upon where they were at and the kind of circumstances that they were in. God always leads his people. Now, for you and I today, he leads us in different kinds of ways as well. It would be easier, we think to ourselves, if we had that pillar of fire and that cloud, but God has not seen fit to give us that. But let me share with you a couple of different ways that he does lead his people today. Okay? Now, this kind of comes from a book by the name of Experiencing God. Anybody familiar with that one? A fellow by the name of Henry Blackaby wrote this 10, 15, 20 years ago. Great book. And what he says to us is God deals with us and God leads us in different ways. Now, you'll notice that I've got the top one up there, the Bible that he leads us through, because that is objective truth. And then there's this separation between the others there, the Holy Spirit, the prayer, the circumstances, the church, and other people. The reason that I've separated them and the reason that we've got that gap in between is that you can always trust the Scripture. You know when God speaks through the Scripture that it's always something that you can go to the bank with. These other kind of things are very, very subjective. There are times in my spiritual life when I think that I have heard that still, small, quiet voice of God, the Holy Spirit, whispering in my ear, and that wasn't it at all. It was my own desire. It was something that I wanted. Maybe it was the pizza that I had the night before. You know, there are times when I think I've heard God and I haven't heard him at all. But when you read the Scripture, you can know that that is always the truth. That you can always trust what God says to us here in the Scripture. So at times he speaks to us through the Bible. He's communicating to us. He's very clearly telling us what his will is. I'm fascinated by people who say to me, "Well, you know, I just wish God would tell me some things that he wants me to do." And I always kind of go, time out. Are you doing the things that you've read here, the things that he's already told you to do? And I'm like, "Well, no, I'm not doing any of that stuff yet." Well, then why is he going to give you more stuff to do if you're not doing the first stuff that he told you? So you got to start there. Start with what he says to you in the Scripture. But then understand that there are times when he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit with that gentle, internal, quiet voice in our heart. That Bill Hybels, in a new book that he wrote a couple years ago, talks about the whisper of God. That quiet, still voice where God begins to nudge us in a specific direction. He speaks to us when we pray, when we ask him in prayer.
God, what would you have me do? He speaks to us sometimes through the circumstances around us. Now remember, look at the gap. Keep in mind, these are all subjective. Just because it looks like the right thing to do and the circumstances appear to be correct doesn't always mean that that's what God wants. When you look at this story here in the scriptures that we just looked at in Exodus, you would never pick the place to camp that God led them to camp because it was a very dangerous, a very vulnerable place. But God knew what He was doing. So circumstances are not always the way that God leads, but at times He does. He leads us through the church, through the body of Christ to gather together. When we are connected with one another and when we are engaged with His body, when we are engaged with His people, He leads us that way. Sometimes He leads us through wise counsel of others. The Bible talks about in many counselors there's wisdom. And so one of the things you need to be careful of, though, when you're talking that and you're considering whether or not you want to follow someone else's counsel is how closely are they walking with God? They may not be walking with Him at all. But see, the reality is God leads us in different ways at different times. And people will say to me all the time, okay, now Pastor, I hear you and I understand that God leads in all these different directions. That's all well and good for you. You're the pastor. But I never hear God speak to me. I never know what God is saying to me. I never hear God say anything at all. God never gives me direction. God never tells me what to do. And so I ask a few questions. Now I'm not being offensive, okay? Well, maybe I am, but not intentionally. Here's a thought. The problem isn't usually that God is not speaking. The problem is that we're not listening most often. We haven't trained ourselves to listen for His voice. If you say, I don't ever hear God say anything, let me ask you a couple of questions. Are you reading the Bible regularly? I'm not saying, are you reading it once a month? Or are you going, gosh, I really need an answer, so let me see if I can find something in here. I'm saying, are you reading the Scripture regularly? Are you having regular devotions? Do you get up in the morning and do you say, God, speak to my heart, and then spend some time in prayer and then have a regular, consistent pattern of reading His Word? Are you praying before the worship service and saying, God, I'm going to go into worship. I'm going to gather with Your people. We're going to sing. We're going to open Your Word. We're going to study it. And God, I want my heart to be ready. I want my heart to be prepared. I want my heart to be engaged. God, I'm open to You. I want to hear from You today. And when You speak to me, I will obey. I'm going to commit ahead of time, God, that whatever You say, I will do. Are you engaging in a growth group where you gather with others and study the Word, where you're connected with other people who are concerned about learning about following God, walking with God, helping you grow, encouraging you, praying for you? You take advantage of the opportunities for the retreats and the conferences and the things that we talk about. Listen, they're not just there for fun. They're not just there for a getaway weekend. It's an opportunity to hear from God. Now listen to me, if you don't do any of those things, if you're not regularly reading His Word, if you're not engaged in your devotions, if you're not involved in a growth group where other people are praying with you and for you, if you're not preparing your heart for worship, if you're not regularly putting yourself in a place where you're going to hear from God, if your heart isn't ready, why are you surprised that you're not hearing from God? It doesn't work with your wife that way, does it? Hey, honey, I'll work you into my schedule this afternoon. Let's talk about something really important. I got 13 minutes. Why are you surprised that God doesn't, that the creator of the universe doesn't come at your beck and call when it works into your schedule and you haven't got anything else better to do than spend a couple minutes with Him? Because you see, that's the way that some of us treat our relationship with God. If the only time you listen is when it's convenient to you or when you think about it or when you don't have anything better to do, then don't be surprised when God doesn't show up. When you go, okay, God, go. Now, if that's offensive, so be it. But I would submit to you that that kind of attitude towards God is offensive towards Him. Your wife will find it offensive. Your children will find it offensive. Your coworkers will find it offensive. Your friends will find it offensive if you treat them that way. Why wouldn't God? The issue is not that God isn't speaking. Now, listen, let me give you a little caveat here. I know I have been there for an extended period of time, like months, literally. I know that there are times when God does not speak in your heart and in your life. I know that there are those times of silence. They even coined a term for it. St. John of the Cross called it the dark night of the soul. And even the terminology there tells you what it's like, doesn't it? Those times when God's voice just turns off for all of us. That happens. Okay, I'm not saying that. It doesn't take place for those of us who are walking with Him. But most often God is speaking. We just aren't listening very well. So here's my challenge for you. If you want to hear from God, you need to make some time for your devotions. You need to get up a little bit earlier or go to bed a little bit later. You need to prioritize hearing from Him. You need to prepare your heart for worship. You need to engage in a regular system of Bible study, whether it's in a small group or a growth group or a Sunday school class. You figure out how you need to do it. You make it work. But here's the reality. You've got to find a time and a place where you prioritize God to hear from Him. If you don't, then don't be surprised that He doesn't speak. The issue normally is not that God isn't speaking. It's that we aren't listening. I wrote this sermon Tuesday morning at 3. Well, actually, I wrote it about 4:10 a.m. And I had this little deal with God that He's going to let me sleep, right? He doesn't do that. It started about 6 months ago where He would just wake me up in the morning, CX. At 3:44, I popped wide awake. So I got out of bed, I got a drink of water, I wandered around the house, I went to the restroom for a minute, came back and laid back down. I figured, like, if you really want to talk, you can talk in the morning. At like 4:20, I'm just staring at the ceiling. I'm like, okay. And so I got up and I wrote it in about an hour, hour and a half. We don't get to pick when God speaks to us. We simply make ourselves available to Him when He wants to speak. That's what it means to walk with Him and to follow Him. If you're not hearing from Him, it probably means not that He isn't speaking, but that you really aren't listening. Like me, it's just a lot more convenient to go back to bed. Secondly, the most common problem is not that we don't hear God. Now, sometimes we don't hear Him because we're not listening. The most common problem, though, is not that we don't hear Him. It's that when we do hear Him, we don't obey. We haven't learned that lesson of obedience. Take a look with me, if you will, back at chapter 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, remember in chapter 13, verses 20, 21, 22, Scripture says that God led them with a pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire at night. Okay, so God's leading them with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Now take a look at the next verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea. Now I got a couple questions for you. I've read that verse a million times. Never saw it before. 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm reading that. I'm like, seriously? If the cloud was leading them, and the Israelites were following, why did God have to say to Moses, tell them to turn around and go back? If the cloud was leading, and they were following, then all he had to do was turn the cloud and they would follow it, right? I'm looking at that and I'm like, seriously? Now, I went back and I checked about 20 different commentaries. Nobody else says this, okay? So maybe it was just 4 o'clock in the morning and I should have been in bed asleep. Because nobody else says this, I'm telling you. But here's what I think is going on. I think they're just like you and me. I think that they saw the cloud turn around and go back. And the desert and the promised land is this direction east. And when the cloud turned and went back, they kept going east toward the promised land. Because just like Moses, this has got to be wrong. This can't be right, God, because you told us you were going to take us to the promised land, and we know the promised land is that way. And by the way, God, where you're sending us to camp, that's not a good place to camp. Because we got the Red Sea on one side, and we got this mountain range on the other side, and we got the desert on this other side, and coming behind us, we know, is Pharaoh and his army, and we're going to be pinned right here in a desperately dangerous place. Surely you don't want us there. See, I think they did what we all do. They started following God, and then when He led them in a direction that they didn't agree with, a direction that didn't make sense to them, one that did not compute, they chose their own wisdom and their own direction over His. Now, I know that you have never done that, right? There's no one here in the room that ever felt that clear leading from God that says, I want you to go this way, and you look that way, and you go, God, surely you are mistaken. And instead, you choose your own path. But see, every time we do that, we miss God's best. We end up wandering, stuck spiritually in the land between. I can tell you that the most difficult times in my spiritual life have come when I have heard God's prompting, heard God's voice, and second-guessed Him, and gone my own way. Some of you are there this morning. You know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're not following God's leadership in your marriage. There are some things in your marriage that He has spoken to you clearly about, and you need to change. But you're not willing to turn back and walk in a different direction. You're second-guessing Him. There are some things in your career that He's told you, don't go that way. Don't make that decision. It's the wrong direction. Maybe you're in a relationship, and you know it is a relationship that does not honor God. And in the back of your mind, you continue to hear His prompting, and He continues to speak to you, and He is leading you, and He is over and over and over again communicating, don't go that way. Turn around. Go back. And yet you're not willing to turn and do that. Maybe it's your finances that are not in order and God's speaking to you about that and you're not willing to change. Maybe it's a sin that you harbor. And over and over and over again, God is saying to you, listen, you need to let that go. You need to release that. You need to trust me with that. You need to turn your back on that. You need to turn around. You need to go the other direction. And over and over and over again, even right now, you're like, I had somebody say to me, I had like three people say to me this week, would you please quit following me around? Because you're talking about me, and I know you're talking about me. No, let me tell you what that is. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, how in the world did He know? I don't know. But God does. And that voice that you hear on the inside, that prompting that you hear, that which makes you uncomfortable, that which tells you over and over and over again, stop it, turn around, go back, it's not going to end up good. That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit on the inside. And He's saying to you, listen to me. Pay attention to me. Turn around and go back. For some of you, last week, when we had the altars down front, and we talked about releasing the past and letting the past go and turning it over to God and finding freedom from that, 100 people came up and put the card in one of the altars. And you heard God tell you, go. Release that. Let it go. Leave it in the past. And everything within you wanted to get up and come down here and put that there and pray and let that go. And yet you didn't. You knew you should have made a move. You heard God say, turn around and go back. And you didn't do it when the opportunity came. And I'm telling you, this week, He spoke as clearly to me as He ever does. And He said, tell them, do it today. If you sat there last week and you needed to release something from the past and you need to turn it loose and you need to let it go and you didn't do that, He's calling you again. He's telling you again, listen to me. Learn how to walk with me. Learn how to obey with me. Turn back. You know what? That word for turn back is a visual picture of the term that we use for repentance. It means I'm walking in one direction and I'm going to turn around and walk in the other direction. It's a total change of heart. It's a total change of direction. It's not the same word that's used for repentance in the Old Testament, but it's exactly the same picture. Turn back. Go a different direction. The direction that you are walking in, the direction that you are following, is going to end up in disaster. And for some of you this morning, I'm telling you, God's calling you the last time. He's calling you. He's telling you, let that go. The consequences of not doing that are terrible. Third thing I want to say to you this morning is God's direction in your life is always, always towards His glory and not towards your comfort or your convenience. Go back and take a look at that passage of Scripture that we are reading. The Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. You see, when you go back and you look at this from a military viewpoint, you would never camp in that place. You would never choose that as the location that you were going to stop. But you see, God's direction in your life is always towards His glory. He doesn't always lead you in the way that you think you should go. They were not there by accident. If you go back and you read what is taking place in chapter 14, verse 1, God says, tell the Israelites, it's actually verse 2, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. They were not there by mistake. They didn't get pinned up against the sea with the desert on one side and the mountains on the other by mistake. God said, CX, put them there. And I know what's going to happen when they get there. Pharaoh is going to close in on them, and they are going to be trapped, and they're going to have nowhere to go. And we look at that and we go, God, would you ever lead me into one of those places that just don't make sense? Listen to me. The answer to that question is yes, He will. He will put you in places sometimes that only He can deliver you. And sometimes we miss God's best in our life because we second guess Him. We look at where He tells us to go and what He tells us to do, and it doesn't make sense to us. We don't want to be trapped there. We don't want to be dependent upon Him. We don't want to have no fallback recourse. We want to be in a place where it makes sense, where we are comfortable, where we can control it, where we can do what we want and what we think is right. And we miss God's best because of that. The place that God told them to camp was not on the shortest route to the promised land. The place that God told them to camp was vulnerable and dangerous. The place that God told them to camp was not accidental. The place that God told them to camp was scary, and it was dangerous, and it was exposed. And he put them there on purpose. You see, we miss God's best sometimes because we won't go where he tells us to go. God placed them exactly in that situation with the end result in mind. He was going to get glory for himself. And he wanted them in that situation. You see, in the land between, God leads us to places we would never go by ourselves. We wouldn't pick that. And like the Israelites, we cry and we complain. I mean, they did. Moses, did you lead us out here in the desert to die because there weren't any graves in Egypt? Did you lead us out here in the desert to die at the hands of the Egyptians because you just wanted to be amused and you didn't have anything better to do? See, I believe many times we hear God's voice, but we don't surrender to it. Because we don't want to put ourselves in a place of vulnerability. Surely, God, you aren't leading me on a mission trip. I would have to change my finances in order to be able to afford to do that. I would have to give up some of my vacation in order to be able to do that. I would have to leave my family for a week or 10 days in order to do that. And surely, God, you wouldn't want me to do any of those things. Surely you wouldn't want me to inconvenience myself and rearrange my finances and rearrange my schedule in order to follow you. That must not be your voice. Surely I can't rearrange my schedule for a Tuesday night or a Monday morning or any of the 30 different growth groups that we've got. Now you don't have a choice. But see, God is always leading us toward His glory and not toward our comfort or our convenience. See, somewhere in American cultural Christianity, we have convinced ourselves that what we read in the Bible is optional. That discipleship, following Jesus, is really something of a suggestion that God makes to us, and it's okay when it fits in our life, but if it doesn't fit in our life and if it's not convenient, and then we just kind of put it on the sideline. It's a series of options that are served up to us like a buffet for our consideration. So we live that way, picking and choosing the things that fit our lifestyle and that fit our comfort. We know that a tithe is biblical, but we say, God, you don't understand. If I were to actually do that, I'd have to sell my boat. I can't do both. I can't do both. And then we wonder and grumble and complain when God doesn't bless our finances. Ministry, well, you know, God, I know I should be involved, but if I were to do that, I'd have to give up my golf game, or I'd have to give up my softball game, or I'd have to give up my soccer game, or I'd have to give up, you know, take your pick. And then we wonder why God never uses us. And we complain when He doesn't. I know I should have devotions and But God, I would have to get up earlier. I'd have to go to bed later. And then we wonder why God doesn't speak to us. God, I know I shouldn't be sexually active before marriage. I know that my relationship doesn't honor you. I know that I shouldn't be stepping outside of my marriage. That Facebook conversation, that phone conversation, that text conversation. Those things, I know I'm pressing the boundaries. And then we wonder why God doesn't bless our relationships. And we aren't connected to our wife or our children. You see, the things that God leads us to are not served up to us as a buffet of options that we get to choose from. That's what kept them stuck in the desert for 40 years. And it wasn't until they learned the lesson of obedience that they finally got out of the desert. Go to Exodus chapter 40 sometime. See, their journey in the desert was bracketed in two directions. In the beginning, the passage that we read about the pillar of fire and the cloud And in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would sit out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not sit out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels." It's the most fundamental lesson of the spiritual life. When God says go, go. When God says turn around, turn around. When God says stop, stop. And until you get that one right, I promise you, you will stay in the spiritual desert. Read the book. Don't write. I'm going to ask the band to come back. We're going to sing a song. I'll give you the opportunity to respond. Take your connection card. Whatever God is telling you this morning. If He was speaking to you, you heard Him. You knew what He said. Do it. Maybe it's an initiative that you need to take, somewhere you need to go. Maybe it's a U-turn you need to make. Maybe it's a stop that you've heard Him say, stop. As they sing and play, take the opportunity to write down whatever it is God is calling you to. And if you're one of those this morning that needs to come and bring something to the altar, maybe it's a new commitment from this week, or maybe it's an old commitment from last week. Take the opportunity to do that here in the next couple of moments. Father, I pray that the surrender that we say will not just be words, but it will be a true surrender of the heart this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Join with me in singing. All to Jesus I surrender.